Right.
But I think it's a good time to buy with the tax benefits, mm-hmm. with the talks of rates being cut. I think if they do get cut, we're going to see a lot of activity in the market. So go get something locked up and, you know, reap the benefits when you can refinance down the road. So.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host for today, Jake Sheehy. Sean is currently out with some family matters, but we still wanted to get an episode for you guys. We still wanted to hit the ground running. Make sure to come back next week. Of course, we believe Sean will be back, and we have some great guests. So keep coming back. But for today, we got Jacob Payne in the studio, and we're talking all things acquisition. It's going to be a great episode today on Experts Corner. Yeah?
That's what I'm talking about, bro.
Come on, get some energy in this.
Energy, bro.
All right, so we got some good stuff.
Hey, hold on. Before we get started, though,
okay,
we're not going to address college football.
Sure. Hit them with it.
All right.
Yeah.
Texas, mm-hmm. at Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
Hook'em Horns. If we win, I'll be back on the podcast. If we don't win, last time on the podcast. So.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So is your mic comparing Ohio State versus Texas at every position group? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I would just think Ohio State's going to win.
Why?
No questions asked.
Texas is ranked one, bro.
You think so?
Ohio State's third.
Really?
This is our year.
Texas is going to win, you think? Well, maybe, but they're the long
best team in the country.
They got Matthew McConaughey, so I guess they would win.
Got Arch Manning, bro.
I don't know who that is, but that sounds like a positive name. That sounds like it means something.
This is our year.
Okay. All right.
That's all I want to say to start.
So all right.
We can get into it now.
Okay, here we go. So usually Sean starts these episodes, the Experts Corner, with asking the guests backstory. You know, I've listened to a lot of these episodes, editing them, and this is the route how it goes. So let's get into how'd you get into real estate and eventually in the short-term rental world. You worked at like a bank or something, right?
Yeah, I did. But okay. I feel like my passion for real estate kind of started before that. Mm-hmm. My family has always owned real estate. My mom or my parents have had rental properties throughout my life. My aunt runs, you know, property management and mm-hmm. real estate acquisitions where she lives. So kind of been around it, involved in it. I've always wanted to own my own home to start off right and get married and buy a house. So that was my first real estate purchase, was my primary house. Have since sold that, bought a new house, have been involved in a couple of short-term rental acquisitions and deals and sales too. So kind of just been around in the family. Then obviously, you know, meeting Sean and working for Sean took it to a whole different, you know,
a new level
of what this really could be.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. So you really just wanted your own home. So you got super greedy and you're thinking, oh, wow. Okay. So you wanted your home. All right.
I want to live the American dream, right?
Right. No, I feel that. Everybody, you know, I want to own a home one day. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Okay, so let's get into kind of the weeds, the meat of it. All right, we kind of gave you a little base. Here we go. I want to talk about some of the mistakes that people make. So, I mean, you see hundreds of properties, right? You talk to our hundreds of members, you see hundreds of properties. You know this game like the back of your hand, right? Mm-hmm. The best in the biz, as I like to say it, right?
Yeah.
So do you think are some of the main mistakes? You know, we've talked about people, you know, wanting a have a lot high emotion into a property. They want to believe that this is going to be the one. But what about like numbers? Is that a big thing?
Well, I think both those things you already touched on are the two biggest mistakes.
Okay.
One,
okay,
not knowing your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Going into a market, buying a property you think is going to go kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even know what the actual ceiling is on the revenue side to, you know, produce at a high enough level to pay your expenses and cash flow.
Right.
So not knowing your numbers.
What does that mean though? Not knowing your numbers,
as simple as knowing all the expenses involved with operating the property, going out, getting quotes for everything you have to pay, right? All your utilities, insurance, taxes, all those things is one big kind of calculator that's put together.
Okay.
As well as knowing how much you're going to be able to charge on a nightly basis and your occupancy levels, which is what is our bread and butter of Odyssey, is knowing how to do that at a very, very high level.
Right.
We take it steps further than most, you know, people that are trying to teach this game. So,
right.
Knowing your numbers really just comes down to understanding how much money you can make in a market. What's the potential in that market? What's the ceiling in that market? Does our property have what it takes to get there? Can we set up on the back end to get there? And can we pay for all that first of all? So really just understanding the investment as one big puzzle piece, mm-hmm. how it's all going to fit together. Mm. What levers do we have to pull mm-hmm. to get to a certain mark?
Right.
And if we get to that mark, how's the investment panning out? So
right.
being dialed in on all those things is super important. But then also you said buying with emotion. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will go see a property, fall in love right. with it. Think right. it's amazing, which it might be. But they, if they have that emotion and feeling, they'll totally disregard the back end numbers on it. So just because they might love a market and love an area, they want to own there, they'll go buy something there.
Mm.
And that does, which a lot of times, you know, it can work out, right? Mm-hmm. If you love it, other people probably also love it. But you also need to make sure you are dialed in with the numbers on the back end. So
right. Okay, let's go into this. I have some questions for you. Say people aren't allocating enough funds to actually, or they're, say, in my opinion, when you're talking, you go like, okay, they're not saying that their insurance is going to be enough. So on their spreadsheet, they may think they're going to make a lot more money, but they didn't allocate enough for insurance or cleaners. Have you noticed that people do that with more properties? Meaning you see a lot of people not allocate enough funds for insurance. You see a lot of people not allocating enough funds for managers. Do you ever see that? Like a main pitfall a lot of people do?
Yeah, it's not so much, I think, on the expenses side where okay. people will be off in their numbers.
Right.
I feel like those areas are relatively easy to figure out, right? You go okay. you go get quotes for these things. You know how right. much it's going to cost.
How many quotes should you get?
I mean, I feel like a very common saying, say, grab three, right. go with the middle one type yeah. of thing. But okay. Also okay. comes down to who you want to work with too. So mm-hmm. a lot of times you are paying more for better service or better coverage. So mm-hmm. We always recommend proper insurance for on the insurance side, at least. But
right.
as far as like what people are miscalculating on, typically what I see it is like the actual revenue they're going to generate, as well as the setup and the cost associated with the setup. So mm-hmm. not so much on the expenses, like those, like I said, those are easy to kind of dial in.
Right.
But the actual revenue piece of it, as well as the capital mm-hmm. expenditure you need to get your property to a high level,
mm-hmm.
those two pieces are oftentimes not
right.
correct. So that's the biggest thing I see.
Okay. That's great. Now, what about for the emotion side of it? Do you feel like people, they get really excited when it's a higher square footage, when it has more beds, more baths, or do you think that they just really enjoy like the layout of the house? Like what drives someone to disregard the numbers and focus more on the emotion? You know, what part of the property?
I think it's different for everybody.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd okay. necessarily tie it to like a square footage type of aspect, but
okay.
I would say probably the home, ambiance of the home itself, the market you're in. Like
mm-hmm.
for me, I've always wanted like a ranch in Montana.
Right.
If I go
right,
see a sweet ranch right, in Montana, right. like, hey man, like, I know it's yeah. expensive, but it's pretty sweet.
Right.
I might want it. So mm-hmm. like for you, like what area do you want to own in? Like, let's just go vacation home.
Okay. If we're going vacation, I've talked about this a good amount of times with Sean on the podcast. I would say if I'm going to do a vacation home, mm-hmm. I'm going to go buy a plot of land, probably close to where I'm from. Summer, okay. Cause I know that area.
Hometown kid.
I know that area. I'm going to go bare plot of land. I'm going to do glamping.
Okay.
It's going to do glamping, but it's going to be naked and afraid theme. Everything is naked and afraid, dude. You get a little map of the property where the river is, where there's a spring to go get your water, where we give you like no food, really. We don't give you like a bathroom or maybe an outdoor shower, maybe, but okay. it's very bare bones, very like. Bare bones, very naked and afraidy. You leave your car at the end of the driveway and then you can strip if you want and you have like a big plot of land. No one's going to see you, right? But it's naked and afraid themed. Gotcha. That's what I would do. A whole experience.
I mean, you guys sound pretty excited about it. A lot of emotion tied into
well,
that.
Well, bro, because I'm thinking, I think the cost would be very little. Like yeah. I'm not buying a home or building a home and I'm not really doing anything to the land. I just need to find a piece of land with some spring water on it. That way they can drink water.
Are they staying in a tent or what? Like a little?
Yeah, like a little glamping tent. A lot of no, nicer glamping. I should say nicer glamping.
No one's going to pay for that.
Well, it's an experience. It's okay. a personalized, all unique right. experience, yeah. dude. I don't know.
Right. No, fair enough.
If you like naked and afraid. Plus,
you already like, seem pretty emotionally tied to it. So
I think it would be fun. I think that's a good one to do. So,
no, I agree. I think it's cool.
I would do that or I would do something with to kind of scare people. I think that would be fun. But I don't know if anyone wants to take a vacation to go get scared. You know, yeah, that's kind of been my...
Could be a market for it.
Yeah. But those are probably the two I would lean into.
Okay.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
See, if you came to me and said, hey, I want to go do this.
Uh-huh. I found the perfect plot of land. Yeah. It's got a spring and you're like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, first of all, it's going to be hard to analyze that because there's right. nothing else like it.
So, okay.
Which There's a risk associated in no matter what investment you make, but the more data and like comparisons that we can see, the better. So
makes sense.
Not saying it's impossible to analyze. We could do our best with it, but it would be.
That'd be a tricky one.
It'd be a trickier one, but it'd be also be really fun too.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay. How do you help people avoid this? Do you just tell them like, just listen to me? I mean, clearly I know. Or how do you break people where you go like, hey, snap out of it. Like, no, this isn't going
to
work.
I don't try to sway anyone any certain way or the other.
Interesting. Okay.
That's not what I do. I'm just trying to present you the facts of what, you know, my opinions are on what you're presenting to me. So I don't ever try to like say, hey, yes or no. Mm-hmm. I'm just calling out what I see. So if someone comes to me and say, hey, I absolutely love this place. I want to own it for a lifestyle ad, or I'm going to retire here. I'm not as concerned with the cash flow or the upfront investment. I'm like, hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But if they come to me and they tell me all those things, but they're also like, hey, I need this to cash flow because I want to retire here. I'm like, well, they're not always tied together. So, I just tell people, hey, this is the number that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Here's what I would put it at if I was doing it.
Okay.
Based on what you told me on the experience you're going to set up, I would pinpoint you here on a revenue side. So I'm never trying to sway anyone yes or no. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to let them know, hey, here are the numbers. I am like a numbers guy. So
right.
I'll help you analyze it, but I'm not ever going to try to, talk them out of it or talk anyone into it too. So. Mm.
Do you ever give them like lower numbers? So if like, they're like, oh, I really love this, I need it to cash flow. And you go, well, I would point you on the lower side of the revenue, even though maybe they'd be in the middle, to kind of let them know like, hey, this seems like, you know, you're not picking up, or you just go straight facts.
Yeah. I'm telling what I genuinely think. I'm not trying to set expectations low or high.
Right.
I'll just tell them, hey, here's what I would do.
Right.
Here's what I would put it at based on X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Now, what if they're like, you know, I really like the style of the property, right? This is what I've been wanting, you know, and I also, it's also in a perfect market. And you go, well, there really is no perfect market, right? You don't, is there a perfect market, you think? Or is there maybe a perfect market in your head because that's where you want to go? So to you, that'd be perfect. But in general, there's no like, oh, this is the best market to be in.
Well, every market's going to have pros and cons.
Okay.
There might be some for each person, this market might have more pros for you than cons. So, but overall, there's not one perfect market.
Right.
I'm sure Sean says it all the time, but you can find good and bad properties in just about every single market. So
right.
Every market has a scale of, I guess, if you want to weigh it on a pros versus cons type of scale there. So,
Okay. That's interesting. So you would underwrite any property in any market, and you would feel confident that people could still make money even in like a really saturated one.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, the term saturation, people get scared of it, but we love that term.
Right.
That just means there's enough, you know, there's enough demand there.
Right.
And so, yeah, there might be a lot of supply there, but we know how to orchestrate things on the back end to stand out and market and provide a better experience. So the term saturation, I don't really buy into that at all.
Right.
It just, that proves to me, hey, there's a lot of demand here. How do we go out and, you know, capture our, as Sean says, unfair share of business. So
working with people, have you noticed that they are more fearful to go in those markets? Or do you think, no, once they see the numbers, they're still confident?
I think people are fearful to go in those markets.
Okay.
They do think like, hey, I'm just going to, you know, fall into the crowd. And so, but I will say in those markets, you have to be dialed in with everything else to stand out and make your money. Right.
Right.
If you just go in that market and say, okay, this is a good market and it's saturated. If I go in here and I don't do those things to stand out, I am going to fall into the crowd and just get buried. So, I mean, those markets don't scare me because I know how we operate.
Right.
But if we don't operate at a high level, then I probably would stay away from those markets.
Right. Do you underwrite the same amount of money for design and like the setup phase in a saturated market as you would on one that's not as saturated?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we base all of those numbers on a price per square foot.
Okay.
So that doesn't change on where you're buying at, what market you're buying in.
Mm.
Some properties maybe will have, let's say you have a buyer property with what?
Well, then why would someone be like, I'm going to fall through the cracks? If you're allocating the proper amount of money to stand out and operate in the top 1%, why would people think, oh, I'm just going to fall through the cracks, even though there's a lot of competition?
Well, I'm saying a lot of people don't underwrite it properly and put the right funds towards a setup fee.
Okay.
The cost and all that. So
right.
I'm not saying it doesn't change per market, but a lot of people don't do it in general.
Mm.
And if you go into a saturated market and not do that, you are going to fall through the cracks.
Gotcha.
Way faster than you would in a market that doesn't have as much supply.
Right.
So if you're in a saturated market, you better allocate money to get it set up and get it operating.
Okay. So. That makes total sense. What about like the amenities? Do people ever get hooked up on or hanged up on the amenities? They're like, man, I want to use this as a lifestyle asset. So I think we really could use the barrel sauna and hot tub. And you're like, I don't think you need either one of those. But you just go, you know what? You know, if you're going to use it for this, you go for it. Or do you, even if they really want it, you kind of advise them, nah, don't do that.
I mean, typically more amenities, the better, right?
Right.
And so if you're in a, I think it is somewhat market dependent, right?
Okay.
Buying a barrel sauna for like a really, really hot market, and maybe you're in a it doesn't make sense, but
right.
A lot of the mountain markets we operate in, most properties have awesome barrel sauna with great hot tub with great views. So
yeah.
I would say the more amenities, the better, but it is a case by case basis, I would say. So
okay.
Not every amenity falls in line with every property, but
that makes sense.
General rule, I mean, if it makes sense, throw in the amenities that you can fit in.
Yeah. Now say someone's like, they're listening to this and they want to talk with you, right? They want to figure out the best way to underwrite their property.
Well, here's my cell phone number.
No, don't do it. How would you like them to come prepared? Like, what would make your life easier if someone just came with like the property, all the numbers that they think, and you can just review it? Mm-hmm. Or like, what do you want people to come to you with?
Well, for our actual Odyssey members inside the Empire Club, we have a whole process for that.
Okay.
We have a worksheet they fill out. It's very basic worksheet, but they fill it out. They, in that worksheet, they link all of the underwriting tools that we teach. And so I will go through and check all their numbers. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the more information I get provided with, the easier it is to me to provide advice and give a review on the back end.
Right, right.
So, yeah, the property itself, the underwriting, their goals with the property, their investment goals in general. And so those are the things that we ask on that worksheet. So it's a very simple process to follow that they can actually send into us for us to take a look at for them. So
That's interesting. Okay. How many properties do you think you have to look at before you find the one? Is there like an average you look at?
Yeah, it's a hard question because it is sometimes market dependent. I would say more often than not, properties don't work out.
Right.
For every
30
to find one, more.
Way more?
I wouldn't say way more, but if I find one to two properties in every 50 I look at that I'm confident in, that's pretty average. So
one out of 50, bro?
One to three out of 50.
Bro, really?
Yeah.
When those just don't work because the sale price is too high.
That oftentimes is a lot of it. A lot of times.
And there's no negotiation with that?
You can negotiate, but right. That's something I'm not going to go out and call each listing agent.
Right.
I get 10 grand off this property for an example I'm trying to put out there. So,
okay. Do you ever work that into the equation? Go like, here's my favorite. Like those three options we talked about earlier. Here's my favorite, the middle. Mm-hmm. Here's one that's too expensive, but if you could get them to come down, that would also be good. Or here's one that's, it was going to be fine, but you're going to put a lot of work into it. Do you ever go like the three, or do you go, here's just the best option?
I feel like it kind of depends on your goals. These are like long-term investments for people, right?
Yeah.
I personally tend to lean towards just the best option.
Obviously,
the price comes into a factor, but if it's within a reason, like I'll typically want the best work done.
Right.
It's kind of where my headset is with that. Mm-hmm. Is that what you asked?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Give me another piece of advice for somebody, right?
Just a general piece of advice.
They're looking, like when you were buying your home, what were some things that really were a big factor for you?
Like my personal home or one of my vacation homes?
Personal.
My personal home. So obviously have a wife and family to think about. So my wife, Erica, she really wanted to have double vanity. A nicer bathroom was really important for her.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I really needed a bigger garage.
Right.
Coming soon will be a, in-home
golf. You're ridiculous, dude.
In-home golf simulator. Gym, workshop.
Right.
So all those things I needed that space for. So also location was big for us. We wanted to be... it's kind of crazy we're thinking about this, but where our children will go to high school, even though McCoy's only a year and a half old.
That's still wild. Yeah.
Just in case we do end up being there for the next 20 years, that's kind of important. So a lot of different factors
Okay. So, all right. So this is how I wanted to tie it into the short-term rental. Clearly you were talking about location to the high school. That makes complete sense with the short-term rental, right? You want to be close to the profit drivers. And that makes complete sense.
Sure.
When it comes to things like the vanity or the garage, right? Those were big things for you. And so if someone's looking at a short-term rental and maybe they have that same feeling, they want the bigger garage or the vanity, right? The property that you found that you think is going to work the best, it doesn't have the vanity or the garage. Would you advise then to build those things so they are happy with the property? Or would you say, cut your losses, this isn't your personal home, just go with this best one?
That's a good question. I was going to relate it to a different aspect, but okay. I get what you're asking now.
Okay.
I think you have to take your personal preference out of a lot of decisions you make. I thought you were going to say, like, hey, if they don't have that, are we still going to be able to, you know, is this still the right property? I was then going to say, well, you need to have, like, we can filter properties when we're analyzing them for the whole market by in terms of revenue. So when I'm analyzing a deal, I will go through and see what the top properties have. Let's say there's, you know, three really big key amenities. They have to have long range views in a certain market. They have to have a pool and they have to be within X miles of a certain profit driver. I was going to say, if we don't have those three things in the property we're looking at, odds are we're not going to be at the top of the market, you know, simple assumption there. But if we're actually taking like those, like a garage and a vanity into a real estate or a short-term rental property, like those aren't necessarily as big of like actual, like what the house needs to have, but it does need to have the key features that the other top properties have to compete at that level. Kind of, I guess, twofold answer there, but.
No, that's a good, that's a great answer because you gave me a really good piece right there of you're sometimes going to have to leave the emotional side of it. We know we've touched on that before, but like you're sometimes you're just not going to get it. That's going to be seem like a hard disconnect for some people, no?
No, it is for sure. Leaving those emotions at the door, making sure your numbers are dialed in. And I guess thinking about it as a number thing. Don't even think about it. I mean, sure, if you go buy a property, you can have some sort of emotion attached to it, right? You're spending a lot of money in it. If you can leave the emotions at the door, that would be the best.
Okay, so we've talked about the location, the cost, like the flow of the home, those things that are equal or what the other properties in the area may have that you're going to have to compete with. Is there another thing that you've noticed? If you have this, this is something that the other properties in this area don't have. You know, could it be water on the property? Could it be short range views? Could it be area for a guard? Anything that you've noticed, okay, this is a good way that you can add to your property to stand out that other ones don't have.
Well, I would say the interior of the property is how we really stand out. So obviously we have, you know, shout out Mike Whitfield, one of the best designers out there, setting up these experiences, bringing the property to life through custom artwork, and then also I guess on the back end of the marketing of it too, right? Photography, that piece of it all. So, but the actual inside, I mean, I feel like our Monesy properties are leaps and bounds above, you know.
Okay. So if you have those three, like the other properties, the real way to stand out is the design, the interior, not so much the, an exterior thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you can actually like bring a property to life, have really good marketing.
Yeah.
Another shout out to our buddy Jasper just bought that property in Cherry Hog. Did you just saw that video, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole property's theme, like which is like a common thing for this area, but I think he took it to a bigger and better level.
With the pool. Bigfoot.
Yeah, I mean the
pool was incredible, dude. Yeah, and the pickleball.
Yeah.
So, and he had a little kid area. I mean, he really went over the top. Right. And I was like,
that's and everything in the property's themed, right?
Bigfoot. Yeah.
And
right.
All this stuff, and so. I think you obviously have to have the things you can't change. You can't change your proximity to a certain spot unless you buy a different property, but can't change your proximity to anywhere. You can't really change the elevation in your views. Yeah, you can add a pool like Jasper did, but the inside and the decoration, the interior, bringing the property to life, giving the property a theme and a soul, that sort of thing, you know, really pulling at the heartstrings of your guests. That's going to, you know, pay dividends in the long run. So,
But do you think people have a hard challenge right now with like, acquiring the property right now? Do you think a lot of people are wanting to wait or do you think more people are wanting to get the ball rolling? You know, they joined Bodicy. Do you think they're like, just give me one and let's get this thing going? Or are they way more
It's a that varies.
Okay.
I think we have people on both ends of that spectrum.
Right.
With the new, you know, tax laws in place, bonus depreciation's back to 100%. And so a lot of people are going out and buying these properties,
right,
you know, and that decision's heavily weighted on the actual tax advantages of it.
Right.
Some people are, you know, just want to learn the game and being, they're going to get ready to buy within it, you know, next year or so. So it's kind of a scale. I would say more often than not, people that join Vodacy and get educated and get the tools they need, you know, they buy a property pretty fast. So right now we're end of August, you know, still got time to go get a property under contract, learn it all, get it in service this year, depending on how the shape, the condition of the property, but still have time to, you know, take advantage of those new tax
savings. Yeah. 100%.
And then I guess you also said, are they wanting to wait for rates? Right. I think right now it's kind of a weird game because they're wanting to get going for the tax benefits for getting it launched this year. But there's all these talks that rates might get cut. So it's kind of a,
but then you could always refinance later down the road, right?
Yeah. Which costs money. So that's something to consider. Like my, my personal house, another reason we bought that one is because we did a loan. It's called a 3-2-1. Essentially we had, our rate was bought down. The first year was the lowest it's going to be. The second year it jumps up. And the third year jumps up again and gets locked in years 3-30. Not to get into the weeds here with my personal loan.
Right.
I have a free refinance within like 5 years. And so I was under the assumption rates are going to drop. I'm going to go buy this house. It might appreciate in value. When rates do drop, I have a free refinance. That's something
nice
that the lender was offering. So that's another reason I was kind of made a fast decision to go buy the house I did. And so kind of timing it all is like crystal ball territory. No one knows what's going to happen for sure.
Right.
But I think it's a good time to buy with the tax benefits, with the talks of rates being cut. I think if they do get cut, we're going to see a lot of activity in the market. So go get something locked up and, you know, reap the benefits when you can refinance down the road. So
That's interesting. All right, dude, that was a pretty solid podcast. I think now listen, people, Sean will be back and we do have some amazing guests coming up. We do have some, I'm actually very excited about the people I've logged in. We've had to reschedule some, so it's going to be a little bit hectic here. Stay with us. Keep coming back because we're going to have some bomb guests coming. Let me, I can name a few because they've been locked in.
Okay.
We're going to do FBI agent negotiator. Big deal. He was on a big case, big time guy.
Do you want to give any details of what he was on or
no?
I was pretty excited when I heard.
I know. Nothing for him. Okay. There was another guy who, he does handle stuff on the dark web. He finds people that
like
are
a hacker,
like type guy. He hacks the dark web and then he finds people that are trying to sex traffic, murder, crazy stuff. He did a TED talk. That's how I found him. He's from England, I believe. So that's going to be a fun one.
Was the guy on PBD or no?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay,
different guy. And then I'm working right now to get some country music star musicians.
Who?
You know who? We talked about earlier, like maybe a couple days ago. Sean went to go see him. Not the main guy, the side guy. DW.
Wait, you got him?
No, not yet. Talks with him. Hopefully, we get it locked down.
Get the main guy, dude.
I cannot, dude. The main guy wants a fee.
How much? I'll pay it.
No, you cannot pay it, dude. No. And then I'm working with to get the possibly the world's strongest man. Dude, that one's going to be awesome as well.
Got him right here.
From South. Okay. All right. So we got some heavy hitter, cool podcast coming up. Come back. Stay with us. Sean will be back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching.
Yeah. You don't want to end on the our flat earth debate.
All right, dude.
No.
Are you for real?
Long. We had an hour conversation.
That's what I'm saying. This is going to be a long conversation if you really want to get into it.
Okay, let's not get into it. If you have any questions on our theories, just email support at Vodacy.com.
Yeah, if you have questions about flat earth.
Of why my theory is correct and Jake is wrong.
The earth is flat. That's what I'll say.
I have a theory
the
earth that is flat. It's a sphere. So.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, guys. Are you going to do the build the life?
You know, I thought that was just his... He does it on Expert Corner too.
Yeah, he always ends it.
I was not prepared to do that. So
you know?
I'm going to need you to do
that. Okay. All right, guys. He says, you know, we don't run ads on the show. So if you enjoyed the show, share the show. Leave a comment, leave a review, like it. Make sure to subscribe. And the most important thing I say at the end of every episode, build that one thing you can do today to build the life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
No, go do that one thing today, not go.
Oh, I thought you weren't ready for it, bro. Yeah. Oh, come on.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website?
Yes. For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.